And now shall I die for thirst and fall into the hands of the uncircumcised. And God clave a hollow place that was in the jaw. And there came water thereof. And when he had drunk, his spirit came again, and he revived. Wherefore he called the name thereof in Hecor, which is in Lebanon, unto this day. Tonight I'd like to preach in the revival in the old jawbone. The old jawbone. I just believe God has a revival for everybody. Now some folks are touching that revival, and some folks have just been fooling around. And so I'd like for everybody to get in revival. Get in and believe God that God's going to move and quicken your spirit tonight. Father, we pray an anointing of the Holy Ghost, a rich anointing of your spirit, would settle and rest upon our hearts and our lives and quicken us with the power and the grace of God. Lord, I pray that your blessing, your presence and anointing should quicken the word of God to every heart. Let faith be born. Let the Spirit of the Lord move upon our hearts, we ask in Jesus' name, and we'll praise you in the name of the Lord. Amen and amen. God bless you. You may be seated if you're coming back tomorrow night. Praise God. We only got two more nights. I want you to get in. The other night, it really didn't dawn on me till I was preaching in the middle of my sermon and talking about how Dad and Mom got saved, that I realized that last year in revival here with you folks at Calvary was the last time and that I got to be in revival with Dad. He went home to be with the Lord the day after Thanksgiving, went on to be with Jesus, and he's on the other side shouting the victory with other loved ones that are there. But I can't help but tell you a little bit about the old gentleman. He came over here, and I couldn't tell this on him when he was here. But I got to tell you something. You know, Dad had church at his house about 5 hours a day. He had church. He devoured tapes. He loved to hear preaching. And he would listen to preaching. Dad would not wear his hearing aid, so the neighbors enjoyed preaching too. I hope they enjoyed it. One of the neighbors got to where she'd come over there and sit down and listen with him. Dear Baptist lady, and she'd come over there and listen to the preaching. And I recognize that when I left my church in Greeley, Colorado, and came down and moved down to Cache, that Dad had an insatiable hunger and thirst for the Word of God. At 91 years old, there was still that live hungering for the Word of God. Now, my dad's one of the few men that I ever knew that never needed a concordance to find a scripture. You tell him the scripture, and he'd turn in his Bible and have just a moment time and have it found. And he didn't need a concordance to look things up. And even at the age of 91, 92, when the Lord took him home, his mind was still just as sharp, and he still had that book down by heart. But he listened to preaching the Word of God. And I went across the country, and I'd beg, borrow, I never did steal, but I threatened to, tapes. I'd get preachers that would give us tapes. And I got tapes from different preachers across the country, Brother Loewenberg and Gene Jackson and some of our great preachers that preach across the country all the time. And he'd go through those tapes in just a few days' time. He'd have it all already out, you know. And he had his favorites he listened to, especially Brother Loewenberg. One of Brother Loewenberg's sermons that he preached put another log on the fire. I guarantee you Dad listened to that 25 times, because nearly every time I called home, he'd say, "Son, I just got through with Brother Loewenberg putting another log on the fire." Well, I was preaching about the time when Paul landed on the island Miletus and got snake bit, putting a log on the fire. Well, I realizing that he had such a desire for tapes, I dug through my library, still in books and in boxes and so forth, out in the garage. We never did unpack them. We didn't have enough room to unpack them. And being on the field all the time and traveling all the time, I really didn't need my library out. And so I still got a half a garage full of library. And I dug through some of the boxes and found a box of tapes that had about 92 tapes in it, I believe it was. It was from the last year that I was pastoring in Quincy, Illinois. When I left there, they just came and handed me these. They kept the tapes up to date for a year all the time. And they'd hand me those before they zapped them. And I guess when I left there, they had heard all of me they wanted to, so they gave me the tapes. You know, I always have 100% satisfaction where I pastor. Some when I come, the rest when I leave. Sometimes it's the same people. But anyhow, Some that are glad to see you are glad to see you go. In the first year a man pastors a church, it's pretty kitty. The second year it's poor kitty. And the third year it's sketch, you can't. But anyhow, I don't know about 13, but anyhow. But you see, the longest I ever pastored was 11 and a half. The same crowd. Those folks out there don't believe in the 7-year tribulation. They believe in 11 and a half years. But anyhow, I gave Dad this box of tapes. I said, Dad, I don't know what's in this box. There'd be whatever we had in our service. We had missionaries, we had evangelists, and we had kids' program, and we had Christmas cantata, if we had Easter pageant. Whatever it is, it's there for the last year. Well, I hadn't been gone very long. I thought that would last him quite a while, and I come home in about 3 weeks, and I found he'd already listened to all those tapes, and he had them piled up in piles, and he had listed them in order with a big old wide rubber band around each pile that he had there, and on each tape he'd write on it how he liked it. And he'd put some of them would be good, some of them would be real good, some would be extra good, and a few said, not much good. Well, I never did get up the nerve to listen to that not much good. There were about six of them in that stack. But when Dad was in the hospital here in Lawton, between Cash and Lawton, I got up the nerve and I thought, well, I want to find out what wasn't much good. Well, the first one was a kids' program that was put on. I thought, well, Dad didn't know any of the kids, and none of them was his grandkids, so he didn't care anything about that. And then I got to thinking about it. I listened to another one. One was my associate pastor, and I thought, well, Ron didn't do too good on that sermon. I remember when he preached it. And I went on down. Another one was a missionary that we'd had. Another one or two I went through, and then I thought, man, I'm going to make it. But you know what? The last two I picked up, they were mine. After the Lord took him on to glory, I took those tapes with me, and I listened to them to find out why Dad didn't think this much good. And I found out he was right. He was right that they wasn't much good. And so, tonight I miss the old general. I miss him. I miss him not being able to be here. And it didn't hit me till Sunday night when I was preaching. And I realized the last revival we were together in was right here. So it's a privilege to be here and be back with you folk. God's richest blessings on you. But tonight I'd like to preach for a few moments on the revival in the old jawbone. You see, Samson got caught in the midst of conflict. In the midst of conflict, he got caught when the Philistines came upon him. They were always trying to catch Samson and get him in an indefensible place, trying to find out the secret to his strength. When this day, they caught him without a weapon, and the only thing he had to use was an old jawbone of a Democrat. Hello? Well, there wasn't any Republicans to use over there. How many believe God could use Democrats? A few. But anyhow, I understand. But anyhow, all he had was the jawbone of a donkey. He picked up that jawbone, and you know, a jawbone's only a single shot. That's not a multi... firing weapon that'll just fire at, well, it'll fire at will if will comes. But anyhow, that this is not a weapon that's a repeating weapon like a machine gun. It's not one that you would want to take to battle with. It's a single shot. You got to reload it every time. And when the day is done, there are 1,000 bodies stacked around Samson. Now I can tell you that a man in a machine gun nest sitting there where he could pick them off would have quite a day if he'd killed 1,000 enemy in one day. What kind of commendation would a man be brought in for before the president who had slain 1,000 men? But this man did it with the jawbone of a donkey. Now, I don't understand the first dozen or so why they didn't get Samson, except God's Spirit came upon him and made him well able to take care of them. After he got a dozen or so bodies lined up, I know how he got the rest of them. Because those Philistines came up to peek over the pile to see what got their buddies, and he got them when they reached over the top. And he just kept piling them up all the way around. And they had to drag off 1,000 bodies. But when the day was done and the day was over, here he was with 1,000 bodies around him, dying of thirst, about to pass out for thirst. And he cried out unto the Lord and said, God, I'm so thirsty out here on this desert. I've fought the battle all day for you. Am I going to die of thirst? And God said, what did you throw away? What have you discarded, Samson? Well, he said, I used that old jawbone, that old bloody jawbone. Well, he said, pick it up again. And God clave a hollow place in the jawbone, and water began to come out of it, and I could see him washing it off. Glory to God. Getting it all ready for a drink of water. And he drank, and the Bible said his spirit revived. Oh, I want to tell you, there's a revival in things that a lot of folk have thrown away. I said, there's a revival in what a lot of folk have thrown away. Did you know that God has chosen the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe? We've got a lot of folk today that are, all they ever want to do is run from one seminar to another, one teaching session to another. They want to go from this to that, and there's nothing wrong with them. But let me tell you, folks, tonight, God still chose the old-fashioned message and the gospel of salvation and the gospel of the cross and the power of the blood of Jesus and the glory of the upper room being expanded and talked upon and preached about under the anointing of the Holy Ghost. Give me a Holy Ghost preacher. How many like to hear an anointed Holy Ghost preacher? You know what I like to do? I like to preach to Holy Ghost anointed people. Woo, hallelujah. When you get that mixture together, you can't miss. Because when people are hungry and when people are thirsty, but the thirst that was in Samson's life, he thirsted and God took what he discarded. I believe that it's time to bring back the old-fashioned gospel preaching of the Word of God, because I believe that there's a crowd today that needs to hear the preaching of the Word of God. You say that's because you're a preacher. No, it might be a little bit like the old bus driver was down in Mississippi. He was driving one of the tourist buses showing the ruins of the Civil War, going from battle site to different scenes and where they'd fought the battle. And on the intercom in the bus to the tourist in his bus, he'd say, and we whipped 500 Yankees over here on this hill, and we killed 1,000 Yankees over here on this hill. And everywhere he went, they'd killed hundreds of Yankees, and never did he give the North credit for anything. Finally, a little lady from Boston spoke up and said, sir, didn't we win any battles down here? He said, not while I'm driving this bus. Woo, hallelujah. Well, I want to tell you something. I still happen to believe in some old-fashioned, clean-cut, straight-from-the-shoulder, dyed-in-the-wool preaching of the Word of God. It's time today that we get back to the basics of preaching the Word of God. You say, well, preacher, who needs it? Well, I can tell you that the faithful need to be preached to. The people who come to church, the people who pay their tithe, the people who worship God, the people who come here to prayer meeting at 6 o'clock in the morning, their souls need to be fed. And God has blessed you, I know. I've been here and heard this man preach. You're one of the most blessed people I know of, that you get the old-fashioned preaching of the Word of God from your pastor week in, week out, week in, week out. It makes it tough on us evangelists. You see, I usually get to go into some old dead church where the pastor stands up and says, now, beloved, let me share with you a few minutes. It always worries me when the preacher's getting ready to share. I like for him to wear his ears back and preach. Glory! Give me a preacher! Glory! But the faithful need to be preached to. Amen! How many believes the body of Christ, the sheep, should be fed? Amen. Sheared once in a while, skinned once in a lifetime. Hello? Amen. You've been in this thing a while. You can fleece them quite often, but you can't skin them too many times. But you see, it's just like this. that you realize that the faithful, Abraham's going down through there. He needs a preacher. God sent Melchizedek. He had some tithe to pay. He had that. And so God blessed him there. God needs to, you backsliders need preaching. Amen. Backsliders need preaching. It was that night when King Saul was crying out. God would not answer his prayer. King Saul had the skies to turn to brass. Everything was closed shut, and there was no answer from God. The Spirit of the Lord had departed from him. He resorted to witchcraft and went out to the witch of Endor. Now, I think I had the witch of outdoors in my revival last week. But anyhow, the witch of Endor. And he cried out. She said, who do you want me to bring forth? He said, give me Samuel, the man of God, the prophet of God, the man who wept and cried over my spiritual condition until daybreak and came and told me faithfully that God was finished with me. Bring him back. I want to hear from Samuel. It's amazing when you get in trouble. You don't want to go hear some pin-whiskered mutt that stands in the pulpit that doesn't know if Jesus Christ is the Son of God or not. You don't go to him for the answer. You go find somebody that knows how to touch heaven. Oh, glory. You see, partygoers need preachers. Amen. Belshazzar's in the midst of a party. They've got 1,000 lords and their wives. They've got the little trained peacocks pulling the carts of wine and liquor down through the aisles and the tables. They're standing, and the lords are sending on the spiral staircase to tell of some lives snuffed out and some victory they've won and some conquest they've made in the hanging gardens of Babylon that stretch 1/4 mile wide as the gladiators there and they're pegged in stone and the elephants reach forth and a chain stretches across there and the flowers are blooming and the party's going on and it's going great until God, the uninvited guest, comes in and with the phantom finger begins to write upon the wall, and it's then that the party music is stopped. It's then when the drummers comes to a halt. It's then when the chorus line is no longer happy, and it's then when the fear of God comes in. And what do they need? They need a preacher. Somebody said, there's Daniel, and mind you, they had to send out to get him. Hello? I've got to go on. I can't stop on that. But I get disgusted with some of our preachers today that are trying, and they all are doing is compromising the cross of Jesus Christ and the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ by compromising their lives and being places they ought not to be. Oh, that God would give us preachers today that will preach the word. You see, praying people need a preacher. Praying people need a preacher. Oh, Cornelius is over there praying. He's down there praying, saying, God, there's got to be more to church than what I'm getting out of it. There's got to be more to church than what I'm getting out of it. I've been giving. I've been paying alms. I've mowed, had the widow's grass mowed. I've put shoes on orphans' feet. I've gone to church. I've put the offering plate. But God, there's got to be more to church than this. And God sent an angel and said, there is more to it. There's reality, Cornelius. There's more to it than putting money in the offering plate. There's more to it than giving to an evangelist. There's more to it than giving in your church and to the missions program. There's more to it than that. And God will turn away the proud, but to the hungry and to the praying people, God has a river and a spring of life that he wants to bring in your heart and life. And God said, I'll send you a preacher. I'm going to have to work him over a little before he gets there. Woo! Oh, Peter's waiting on dinner to get ready, and it's late. He's up on the housetop praying, having visions of eating. But it's not the right stuff. This is not beef. This is not barbecued venison. This is not... These are porkers. And God is saying, rise and eat, Peter. And he said, I'm hungry, Lord, but I've never eaten anything that wasn't kosher. I don't even eat dill pickles that are kosher. Amen. When I buy salami, it has to be kosher. And whatever I eat, Lord, no. God said, call not which I've cleansed common or unclean. three times commanded of God, saying there are men at the door that are waiting for you, and when you get through with dinner, go with them and don't ask anybody about it. Don't call Springfield. Don't call Oklahoma City. Don't call anybody else. You go and mind me. I'll take care of them. Hallelujah. And he went over to that house, and when he got there, Cornelius said, we are all here, present before God, ready to hear. Ready to hear all things commanded thee of God. I want to tell you, there's a world sitting out here that wants to hear what God's got to say, not what Dr. Sounding Brass has got to say about the scriptures, or what somebody said about it, or what the Pope thinks. Give us, thus saith the Lord. And this is the answer tonight, that we get an answer from God. And Peter said, I perceive of a truth that God is no respecter of person, but out of every nation, every kindred that comes to him, that accepts of him. And while he spake these words, the Holy Ghost fell on all them that heard it. They fell upon those that were praying people. Ooh, hallelujah. God, help us tonight to reach back and get the old jawbone of preaching the word of God, being instant in season, out of season. Glory to God, to reprove, to rebuke, to exhort with all long suffering and doctrine, that we preach the word of God. Hallelujah. You say, preacher, what do you do to lift humanity? I preach the word. Hallelujah. You say, but what do you do to help humanity? I preach the word. You say, but what do you do to lift the fallen? I preach the word. Would you like some witnesses? I've got plenty of them. In the last year that we're out, alcoholics, that today they're set free. Dope addicts that are no longer on dope and are no longer mainliners, but thank God they've been set free by the grace of God. Homes that could not stay together are together tonight because the grace of God and the power of the word of God that puts homes together, straightens out drunks and alcoholics, and sets you on the road to heaven. Give me an old-fashioned preaching of the word of God, and let us shout the glory of another world in the presence of God. My Lord, have mercy. I'm about to have a camp meeting running spell. Whew. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I was with Paul Hutzel this last spring in Ecuador. I couldn't help but remember back several years ago when he said some young person had left a tract and a New Testament in the hands of a man who walked by one of the street services. This man, they did not know who he was. They did not know where he was from. He just came by the service and they gave him a New Testament and a tract on salvation. That man went back to his home village, back in the inn works of Paraguay. And when he went back there, and about a year later, they got a message. And the message came from that little village. We need a preacher. Brother Hutzel said, I was the one who they chose to go. So he said, I went as far as I could go. He said, I went as far as I could go on my little motorcycle that I had. I had to park it. He said, I went till the trail wore out. Then I was at a river. He said, I had to catch a boat and get a ferry across the river. And he said, finally, I made my way back into the interior. And he said, I was met there at the river. And he said, I was met by a group of people, and said, this man who had a well-worn and almost worn-out New Testament came to meet him and said, are you the preacher we sent for? He said, yes, I'm a preacher, a man of God. Well, he said, we'll just stop everything and have church. And the whole village stopped. They came to church. They sounded some kind of a bell or something that let them know it was church time. They all came into church. And the man who had the New Testament said, now, Brother Hutzel, we need somebody to teach us what to do. We have these, said, these are all saved. Our village has all got saved, but said, these that sit on this side, they're spiritual. These over here are not spiritual. What he meant was, these have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and these over here are just saved. And he said, when they get it, they get to move across. He said, we read in that Bible that I got, that this experience, and said, we got it, but some of us don't have it. We need a preacher. Oh God, we who in America can listen by satellite 24 hours a day to the gospel being preached, we who can listen to the word of God and turn on your television, turn on your radio. I understand that not everybody on television and radio had got it straight. You can listen to them guys and get as confused as a termite in a yo-yo. You won't know what to believe if you listen to all those guys. But I can tell you now that the Word of God will teach you what to believe. I've got to hurry on. Because you see, not only is there revival in preaching of the Word of God, but there's a revival in the old jawbone of prayer. We need to lift up that old jawbone again and cry out to God. I thrill to see this church crying out to God at 6 o'clock in the morning. Nearly every church I'm in the last several months has started having prayer meetings either early in the morning or late at night when people can come in and wait before God, and those churches are seeing and having revival in their church. Because you see, God will hear you when you pray. One lady said to the pastor who visited her in a hospital, said, God doesn't hear me anymore when I pray. He said, well, why don't you curse a little then? She said, oh, God would hear that. If God will hear you curse, God will hear you pray. Amen? If God can hear one, He can hear the other. Your prayer is not in vain. I said the prayer for your family and your children is not in vain. It is not lost upon the wind. But thank God, it is a burden on the ears of Him who sits upon the throne. Hallelujah! Your prayer is not in vain. God came down to the backside of the desert, took an old boy that was born with special parents who had been hidden in the bushes 3 months by his parents, never found out, wound up in the backside of the desert, a shepherd for 40 years coming in. He didn't have all the poise that he had when he left Egypt. He now probably had the sheep herder shuffle. Coming down through there and the bushes on fire. When he said, I'll turn aside and see this great sight, God spoke. I am the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. I am the God of your people, and I've heard the cry of my people that they're sorely oppressed and they're afflicted and they're being taken advantage of. I've heard their cry, and I've come down to deliver them. Your prayer is not in vain. Your prayer is not in vain. Cornelius was told, we've heard your prayer. Your giving is a memorial in heaven. Some churches I go into, they got a bronze plaque on the organ that says, in memory of so-and-so. They got a bronze plaque on the piano, in memory of so-and-so. The altar benches say, in memory of so-and-so. And the pews all say, in memory of somebody. I feel like I'm walking down to the cemetery when I go to that church. I think they'll be first in the rapture. They've been dead enough. But you see, the angel said to Cornelius, we've already got a bronze plaque in heaven made up for you. There's already a memorial made up in heaven. We got a little plaque made up there for Cornelius in memory of Brother Cornelius, and you're not even dead yet. But we've heard your prayer, and your prayer's heard, and the answer is on the way. I want to tell you tonight that God's got the answer already on the way for you. God already is at work on what you've been praying about. He knew what you needed before you even called. But all He simply asked was that if we ask, we shall receive. If we seek, we shall find. If we knock, it shall be opened unto us. For to him that asketh, receiveth, and to him that seeketh, findeth, and to him that knocketh, it shall be opened unto you. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. You see, God wants you in your prayer life to stay faithful unto God. I have a friend. That friend was one of Merrill's marauders in World War II, dropped behind the lines in Burma. There were several thousand soldiers dropped behind the lines in Burma to become our first guerrilla fighters that we had there in World War II in that part of the world. That group of people, I believe it was 3,000 men that were dropped in behind the lines in Burma. There was a little Pentecostal boy in that group of men, and that little fellow won most of those men to God. While he was back there, he never carried a gun. He was a conscientious objector to carrying weapons. But the little Pentecostal boy, did some of the most heroic things and crawled through live battle fire, drug men's bodies across the line. They'd say, "Man, how'd you make it?" He said, "Didn't you see the angel that went with me?" Glory. There he was. But he won my friend to God. My friend had never been to church. He was raised like a heathen here in the United States. Never been to church. He got saved, gloriously saved. They were making another drop and dropping him in again as they picked him up at a rendezvous point, and they dropped him in, and when he came down to land, a Japanese Imperial Marine nearly cut him in two with machine gun fire. Left him for dead. And he lay there riddled with machine gun bullets through his body. The Marine left him for dead. And a little native saw that there was still a pulse and came to attend to it. But at that same instance, in Roswell, New Mexico, old Mom Snyder, a prayer warrior in First Assembly of God Church, she's gone home to glory now. But Mom Snyder was sitting down at her table, getting ready to eat a little bit of soup and an evening meal, when all of this flashed before her, and she saw one of our soldiers. She didn't even know him, but she saw his face and his body. She saw him riddled in the vision by machine gun fire. She saw him lay upon the ground and slumped upon the ground. And a burden came upon her to pray for that young man. She dropped to her knees and her soup grew cold. And she never touched that soup, never ate that soup, and she never stopped praying for 3 days and 3 nights. She cried out to God, "Lord, touch that young man. And I don't know him and I don't know his name and I never saw him before, but God, you've got to minister to him." At the end of 3 days, the burden lifted. She went back to eating, gone back to church, was living for God, living faithfully for the Lord. But you see what happened in those 3 days. That little native laid my friend Jim Black on the log, floated him down at night down underneath the edge of the river, and down they floated him down, and it took him 3 days to get him back into the hands of the medics of the, there that came, and they flew him out, and on the third day they flew him out to a hospital away from there. When God released that little prayer warrior from the burden that was on her, she had prayed him through that thing. The war came to an end. By this time, Jim Black had become a captain. Jim Black had become a captain because that his superior officers had been killed. And he was the only one left many times. And so he had to take and assume higher officer training and higher officer's rating. Came out a captain out of World War II. And they sent him to Roswell, New Mexico to be discharged from the service at the end of the war when the war was over. He said when the war was over, he went to the old Air Force base that was in Roswell, New Mexico. Maybe it was Walker. I don't remember. But what I do remember was the fact that when he got into town, it was Saturday when he got home, his little Pentecostal buddy had told him, "When you get home, son, go find your church that you can get the Holy Ghost. You got to have the baptism and the Holy Ghost. It's wonderful you're a Christian, but go find your church and get it." Well, he was so thankful to God that he got home alive. And he got home well, and he's a Christian. He started walking the streets of Roswell, New Mexico, and he went to a Church of Christ church. He didn't know one church or the other. He'd never been to church. The only religion he knew is what he found on the battlefield. So he went to the Church of Christ pastor on Saturday and said, "Sir, I'm a Christian. I gave my heart to God. My buddy said, I need the Holy Ghost. I need to talk in tongues. And he said, I just wonder if I can get it here tomorrow." Man looked at him and said, "I'm sorry, but you can't get it here." I'm glad I'm not a preacher that's telling you can't get something from God. I'm glad you can get anything you need right here tonight. You just name it, God wants to give it to you. He went down the street, passed down there at Third and Garden, First Assembly of God Church. Paul Savage, now the district superintendent of the state of New Mexico, was pastoring the church in Roswell, New Mexico. Went into his study, said, "Pastor, I'm Jim Black. I gave my heart to God when I was overseas and gave my heart to God, but I never have got that Holy Ghost. I just wonder if I could get it tomorrow if I come to church." Brother Savage said, sir, if you come to church, you can get anything you need from God. You'll be here tomorrow. He came into service. Now, he'd never been to church before. The only church he'd had is out on the battlefield. You got to understand that. He come in and sit down by a sergeant. When Brother Savage got through preaching and gave the altar call, he turned to the sergeant and said, have you got the Holy Ghost? He said, no. He said, are you going to seek it? He said, no. He said, yes, you are. He said, no, I'm not. He said, yes, you are. I command you to seek the Holy Ghost. They went to the altar. Guess who got it? The sergeant. God baptized him in the Holy Ghost. The old captain didn't get it. But when he got up from that altar and stood up to go home after seeking God, old Mom Snyder came across that church with a big smile on her face. The woman who'd prayed for 3 days and three nights, she went over and threw her arms around him and said, I don't know who you are. I don't know your name. I don't know anything about you, but you're mine. You're mine. God gave you to me for 3 days and three nights. They put the dates back together and everything when it happened, and it all was the same moment that God reached down to a little widow woman in Roswell, New Mexico, that needed to pray, and God chose her. When God wakes you up in the middle of the night, you thank God for the compliment. Somebody needs your prayer. Woo, hallelujah. Keep on praying. I hope God wakes you up for me. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God answers prayer. Ooh, one of our dear ladies was driving down the freeway in Los Angeles. Anybody knows that's an experience in itself. Just driving down the freeway. It's kind of like the old Kansas farmer that went out to Los Angeles and he couldn't take the traffic and said, I'm going home. They said, no, stay till Sunday. He said, you can have the whole town to yourself Sunday. Said all the Jews are playing golf. The Spanish are working on their cars. He said, the rest of them are sleeping off the night before and a few Protestants will be in church. You can have the freeway to yourself. So he stayed till Sunday, pulled out on the freeway, got hit by a car. He said, they told me I could have the freeway to myself. The Jews were playing golf. The Spanish were working on their cars. And he said, the rest of them are trying to sleep off Saturday night. He said, who are you? He said, I'm a Seventh-day Adventist on my way to work. This dear sister was driving down the freeway in Los Angeles when God dropped on her soul a tremendous burden for one of our Oklahoma missionaries, old Brother Cobb. Ralph Cobb it was. She pulled over on the side of the freeway, began to agonize and intercede in prayer. She cried out to God in prayer until the burden lifted. Went on to WM's, went on to the ladies' meeting. Ralph's mother-in-law lived there. Went to that church. She went over to her and said, what's wrong with Ralph and Thelma? She said, I don't know. She said, something is. I had to pull over and pray for him on the way in. I couldn't get here. It's the reason I'm late. I've been out there praying for him and crying out to God for him. In a few days, Thelma's mother got a letter from them and said the funniest thing happened the other night and named the hour and the day. When they crossed over the Atlantic and the hour difference between what it was in Africa where they were on the mission field and what it was in Los Angeles, it was the same instant and moment. Said Ralph got up and was rocking the baby to sleep. And said he went in to lay the baby down in the crib and something held him and would him lay the baby down until he called for a light. And in that bed was a vicious, poisonous viper that if it bit the child or Ralph, either one, they'd have been dead in just a few seconds. And they would have been gone. But something held Ralph until he had a light. Thank God. There's an old jawbone of prayer that we need to revive and bring it back again. It'll still bring revival. Can you say amen? Woo, hallelujah. We need to pick up the old jawbone of praise. We're a little behind on our praise to God. We Pentecostals have been accused of praising God all the time anyhow. But I can tell you we're not caught up on it. We still need to praise God a little more than we've ever praised Him before. Thank Him for His goodness. Praise Him for His love. Fill your heart with gratitude and thanksgiving unto God. He has given you this day. Hallelujah. And the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. And the Lord inhabits the praises of His people. And so He said, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and to His courts with praise. Oh, thank God tonight we can come. Because if you want to know how to get anything from God, start praising Him and thanking Him for it. Amen. Oh, hallelujah. It works, don't it, Brother Gene? I saw him standing over here last night, just praising God, loving God, the Lord, once the Holy Ghost came down. Oh, hallelujah. When you start praising God, God comes into that place. Hallelujah. The other day, they was having a fellowship meeting. One of the preachers came in late. When he got to testify, he said, I'll tell you what, folks. He said, I hit a sparrow with my car. And he said, I realized the scripture that where the sparrow falls, the presence of God is. So he said, I got out to be in the presence of God for a few minutes, and I had to shout a while I stood there by the sparrow that fell. Hallelujah. Well, I can tell you now that God knows about the sparrow that falls, but God's not looking for a sparrow. God's not looking for the scream of an eagle. God's not listening for the cooing of a mourning dove. God is waiting for you to cry out in praise and to lift again the old jawbone of praise and magnifying the name of God. For I dare you to praise God, because it will bring His blessing. It will bring healing. It will bring the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It'll repair the breach in your home and your family. And tonight God wants those who will begin to praise Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. It'll work in the Philippian jail. It'll work at Calvary Assembly. Hallelujah. It'll work beside your bed. It'll work beside your couch. It'll work going down the road. Ooh, hallelujah. One morning we were going down the road in an old motorhome. We was going down through there. Sun was coming up. Now the sunrise. I just got a blessing. I was driving, and I got to get shouting up there, and I got to praising God, tears rolling down my face. I was praying. Now, I never have turned loose of the steering wheel with both hands. I never have trusted God that far yet. Some of you may have, and that's all right, but I thought God put me there for something. But anyhow, I've held it with both knees, with my hands up, praising God. Woo, hallelujah. I was having camp meeting up in the front end. The rest of the crowd was asleep in the back. I woke my family up. My wife said, what's wrong up there? I said, nothing wrong. I'm just rejoicing with God this morning on the rising of a new sun. And I'm thanking God for His blessing. Hallelujah. Do you know what? That entire day was different because I started it with God's praise boiling up in my heart and life. And what you need tonight from God, you can have if you'll begin to praise Him. If you begin to love Him. Oh, hallelujah. When you begin to worship and praise and magnify the name of God, God comes on the scene. Can you say amen? Stand with me, please, tonight. Let us believe God together in this service that the Lord will help us tonight to be enter in with praise and thanksgiving. Enter in with glory and honor and praise unto God. Hallelujah. I'm not through tonight. I just quit because I've got a lot more to preach. But I'd like to tell you tonight, I believe it's time for folk to come and want to receive something from God. I want you to come and believe the Lord that God will help you right now. I believe there are families here tonight that need to come and join together in praise. And families need to praise God. Would you bring your family to God tonight and just bring your entire family to the Lord? And I want you to begin to praise God together. I want you to begin to pray together. I want you to believe God to put your families and your home and your life together and let your family begin to worship and praise God. You kids, find your moms and dads. If you got some, if you don't, adopt some. You that don't have any kids, you adopt you some kids. I want people to get together all over this place tonight. I want you to start praising God. I don't want you asking any petitions. I want you to start praising God for every blessing. I want you to start counting your blessings. I want you to start opening your heart and life to God. I want families to get together. Come on. Families, get together. Find each other. Get together tonight. Men and women. And start praising God tonight and bring it together at the foot of the cross. And let God touch you right now with His divine grace. Hallelujah. If you've got brothers and sisters, you've got mother and dad, if you've got those around you, the entire family ought to get together. And you ought to start praying and praising God tonight, believing the Lord. Lift your hands to the Lord right now. Lift your heart to God right now. Let the Lord touch you. That's it. Thank God. Hallelujah. God bless these families. God bless these families. God bless these homes. You don't have family.
Join together with your husband or wife. Join, adopt to somebody. But let's believe God right now. Let's worship Him and praise Him. Everybody lift up the name of Jesus. Father, we praise You. We love You. We adore Your name. We thank You for the divine grace of God. We praise You, Lord, and thank You because Your grace is sufficient. We ask You, Lord, to open the windows of heaven upon our hearts. Oh, hallelujah.
Oh, let there be glory and honor,
yes, Lord, we praise
and praise. Glory and honor to Jesus.
Oh, yes,
glory.